share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we, as promised, have the amazing Janae Bowen from Dog E911, who is going to teach us about some very important things that may never happen, but boy, oh boy, if they do happen, you are going to be glad you heard her and what to do so that they will be able to help your dog in a bad situation. So, first thing we're going to talk about today is a little bit about what's going on in the news. There are just so many wonderful things going on right now. We have a huge fundraiser for Merlin's Kids this coming Friday. You definitely, if you're in the New Jersey area, you definitely want to be a part of it. You can come out and meet Wyatt, the super dog. We call him Wyatt the Wonder Dog. And you can meet me and our wonderful team of quite a few of us from United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids. So we definitely want you to come out. And you can also Facebook friend us and like our show. Join up so you can receive our newsletter for the Love a Dog on Friday nights and From Shelter Dog to Service Dog on Tuesday nights, as well as Merlin's Kids and United K9 Professionals. So this way you'll be able to know where we are, when we're going places, and you'll be able to be a part of the action. Even, who knows, maybe you'll even wind up being a foster family for a wonderful dog who used to be a shelter dog and who may someday be a service dog. Right now we do need a lot of fosters because we unfortunately don't have enough fosters for all the wonderful dogs that we're trying to rescue from Georgia and from different areas around the country. We definitely need your help. If you know someone, no matter what state they're in, we have people right now in 37 states, soon to be 38. And our wonderful lady, Gergana, who lives in Bulgaria, is going to be coming out and training with us in June. So anyone who wants to meet our wonderful Bulgarian person who is a natural canine behavior specialist, she's going to be out here with us too. So we're very excited. There's a lot of great things going on in the next 3 or 4 months. So, as I was promising to you, we're going to be talking a little bit about service dogs and how do we select a dog to become a cancer detection dog, a service dog for a child, a dog that'll be for PTSD. What are the qualities we look for? Well, every single dog that we bring in, we rehabilitate, and not just for a couple of weeks like some people think they're doing some great job and they go out and they get a shelter dog because they hear of what we do, except that we've been doing it since 1985, and they're doing it since last week. You got to be careful when you choose a shelter dog, or any kind of dog for that matter. It's kind of like, think about all the bad relationships you had before you finally found your one true love. You think they're all your one true love, and as you get older, you start realizing, maybe I was wrong, and maybe I was wrong again. But the thing is with dogs that there's always that two-month honeymoon period, which means that first 2 months after you get the dog, he's on his best behavior, or she. Which means, like when you're going out on a date and your mother tells you, or your father tells you, be really respectful, and your mom will tell you, don't order something that's too expensive. He'll think you're a gold digger. Well, those things, and we laugh about them, but there are certain things that we definitely are on our best behavior. Well, I was doing just so many dogs this week. I think I'm up to class number, in the last 6 days, I'm up to class number 14 already, and I've got 3 tomorrow. I've got 3 Thursday, 3 Friday. Saturday, I'm going to my wonderful nephew Josh's graduation from college. And then Sunday, I've got 2, and, you know, I just keep going all the time. That's what happens with our team at United Canine Professionals. We get so busy fixing dogs that have behavioral issues, and we fix them for people, that sometimes, you know, we get just so slammed with classes and trying to help that we need more people. And this is one of those times. We're actually looking right now, although we're in about a third of the way through, our current behavioral class, But we're starting to look for people for our summer, which will start in, I believe, July, our summer class, which will be also for people who want to be certified in natural canine behavior rehabilitation. It's our technique. We created this technique over the course of almost 30 years, with definitely some additions and revisions through the years. But really, this is about behavior. This isn't about the dominate the dog. This isn't about using shock collars. And you can call them e-collars. They're still shock collars, even if they're with a noise. They don't work. They do work on certain dogs for certain things. But, you know, when we deal with dogs, of course, many of the dogs we bring in are dogs who are either fearful or very apprehensive because they've been through hell and back. I mean, a lot of these dogs that we bring in, because most of them are shelter dogs or rescue dogs or strays, we have to keep those dogs for up to a year and a half. Usually it's about a six-month average, sometimes a little more. And this way we know the temperament of each animal. For instance, this past week I went down to Maryland because I had told one particular person who's waiting for a service dog that we've been working with for quite a while. And I was trying to get down there, and of course, she didn't choose to get back to me, so that's not a good sign. But the problem is that when we go in and we check on somebody and we check to see how that family is, we have to make sure that that family is going to be appropriate. So it's not like you can just call us and say, yeah, I need a service dog, Janice. Can Merlin's kids give me a free service dog? Well, the fact is it costs us usually between $8,000 and $10,000 for the average service dog. Some cost up to $20,000 to $25,000. Some of the dogs that just take literally a year and a half, it's just an intensive training. But most of the time, most of the dogs wind up in that range. Now, if let's say you have a situation where the dog, let's say the people say, the dog chased the cat or the dog's afraid of the cat. Well, if the dog doesn't display the same behavior at another place, then it's not the dog. And a lot of times, people have lives who, kind of train wrecks, where just everything's going wrong. And the people don't really understand what the dog needs. I don't care if it's the best dog in the world. If you take the best dog in the world and put it into an extremely unstable environment where it's not even clean and the dog is kind of an afterthought, well, that isn't setting the dog up for success. And all of you guys know that we say every week we set our dogs up for success, not for failure. So the fact that people continue to set their dogs up to fail and then wonder why they fail never ceases to amaze me. So one of the main things that we're going to be doing today is setting your dog up for success. And there are things that we're going to discuss in the next segment before we bring Janae on that are some things that, you might not love, but they're things to set your dog up for a successful encounter should that happen. And today we're going to be talking about injuries and how to deal with a dog who might have an injury or potentially has a problem, and how to make the dog's time easy so that the dog doesn't have additional stresses to whatever the injury was. We're going to talk about a lot of things today. You're definitely going to want to stay tuned. This is going to be a very exciting show. And, to have Janae Bowen from Doggy 911 with us, twice in a month, we're very, very blessed. So we will return in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And as promised, we have the amazing Janae Bowen standing by with us today. We wanted to discuss some things, and I'm going to start it out by saying, I've got the best dogs in the world, and we joke when I'm training all of our new natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialists in United Canine Professionals. We always joke, and the most common thing we hear is, I've got the best dog, but, or he's the best dog in the world, but, well, if there's a but that comes after that, then he's not the best dog in the world. He's your best dog, but we can even make him better. Now, the problem is when we start doing things, we have to think ahead. And time after time, I mean, I have, like I said, clients. I do, you know, 60 new clients, 70 new clients every single week. You know, I mean, every single month. So I'm doing, you know, maybe each person has one or two, or some people, I just did a lady, she had six dogs. And, you know, I'm doing literally 1,500 dogs, maybe at least. Every single year, and that's not including shelters and rescues and working with those people. So the one thing I think that I see a pattern with, and I'm going to ask Janae about this in a moment, is I think people don't understand. They look and they think about now. They think about today. They think about this moment. And a lot of people hate the concept of having a dog in a crate. Now, I don't want any dog to be in a crate, you know, and just living in the crate. That is just horrible. But unfortunately, a little bit of this is related to what I'm going to be talking about today. Because if you have a dog who is not used to ever being in a crate and is scared of the crate or phobic of the crate, what are you going to do when that dog, God forbid, gets hit by a car, gets sick, injured, whatever? And you've got to go to a veterinarian who won't work on your dog or has to put your dog in the back in a crate. Well, if you haven't gotten him used to it and acclimated him to at least being in a crate and that he's not going to die and he's okay, imagine, God forbid, the dog is hit by a car. And now, on top of that, he's stressed because he's not with you. And he's even more stressed because he's in this crate and he's terrified of it. So I don't leave my dogs in crates, but I do crate train them just so they're comfortable in living, even, you know, only for a few minutes at a time, but at least that they're comfortable being in a crate so that they don't freak out and panic if, God forbid, they ever need to be in there. The other thing I get all of my dogs used to is a muzzle. No, my dogs are the best dogs in the world. They work with special needs children. They find cancer. They do all kinds of things. They're service dogs for blind children. I mean, you can't even imagine. My dogs truly are the best dogs in the world. Well, why then would I want to put a muzzle on any of my dogs? Well, the reason I do that is if what happens if, God forbid, one of my dogs is sick, even though I know my dog won't hurt anybody, and a veterinarian or a professional might be scared, and might say, listen, I'm not working on your dog unless you have a muzzle on. Now, imagine that the dog has no idea what's going on. He's terrified because he just got hit by a car, or he's really sick. He's hurt his leg, whatever it is. And now, on top of that, he's got this thing that everybody's trying to jam over his nose. So getting your dog used to having a little time, not every day, it doesn't have to be every day, leave the crate open. But get the dog used to having being fed in the crate, get him used to being in the crate and just that he's okay, get him used to having a muzzle on him, even though you're not going to leave it on a long time. It's going to save you a lot of stress, and it's going to perhaps save the dog's life. Because if a veterinarian will not work on a dog without a muzzle, your dog isn't going to get medical attention now. Is that what you want? So remember, you got to think ahead. And Janae Bowen is going to be telling us a lot more about how other ways we can prevent our dogs, A, from getting hurt, and B, from if something happens, how can we make it the easiest on our furry friends? Janae Bowen, welcome, welcome, welcome from sunny California.
Hi, Janice. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you talking about
the crate and muzzling. I totally agree for many different reasons. I know we've talked about a couple things in the past and kind of gone over these things, but they're very important. Because, I have dachshunds, and I crate them when I'm not home. I've gotten them used to crates since they were young, and I leave the crates open. I've got, a couple different types in the house and one in the vehicle, and, obviously they're with me a lot. I mean, I travel and work with a couple of mine, and a lot of mine go with me to a lot of events. But I think it's very important to have that as a way for them not only to have to have some private time. Sometimes they'll just go in there and they want to just kind of be quiet by themselves. But it is very important. During a disaster, I mean, where we're working with lots of animals across the board, whether they be, any type of animal, if you haven't taught your pets how to be inside a crate, a horse trailer, any type of enclosed space to get them out of harm's way, and then when they're dealing with the emergency care and they're being set up in cages and things while we're working with all the multitude of animals that we'll have in a disaster, they'll be freaking out. And so it is very important to have them feel at least comfortable in that, in those crates and those things, so that way they are they're calm and they're not panicking. They're already going to be scared, obviously, like you said, if they're dealing with an emergency, if there's a disaster and they're separated from you. So that's very important. And the muzzling as well is very important because, it could be an injury. You're trying to triage them. You're trying to help them. They could even try to bite you. Even though they love you, that you're their owner, they're scared. It hurts. So you need to have the ability to let them feel comfortable with these things so that way when the time comes to use them, they won't panic.
Right, absolutely. We have a little time in this segment. Give us some ideas about maybe a couple of quick things. What other ways can we prepare in case a dog has an injury or has something that happens suddenly? Like, what should we do in those moments?
Well, the things that I want to talk about today are, a couple different things, whether it be your own pet that gets hurt, but also could be an animal that you find. And any time that an animal is injured, there's certain things that you need to do because you're obviously going to have to, triage and figure out what needs to be done and how serious the injury is. Because obviously if it's something that's time sensitive, it's something that, you're going to have to make a decision and do something now for that animal because, it could cause the animal to have a very serious injury or it could cause death to the animal if you don't do something quickly. So there are certain things that you should do. And it doesn't matter. It can be, again, your own pet. It can be a cat or dog that you've come up on. It could even be a wild animal because animals get injured all the time. Birds get hit by cars. Wildlife gets hit by cars. Cattle get out and get hit or injured. Dogs running stray, cats running stray can get hit. It just things happen. And so being able to, you know, kind of assess the scene and know how to, you know, handle an emergency will help you not only help your own pet, but help you maybe to help somebody else's animal as well. Because, you know, animals get out, that does happen, and it could be someone, I mean, it may be an abandoned pet, but it could be an animal that someone loves and misses, and they don't know what to do. They're trying to find that animal, and you just happen to be the one that, you know, finds them and helps to triage that animal to get them back to the owner.
Okay, and we'll talk more about that in the next segment. Stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and the inimitable Janae Bowen from www.doge911.com. Welcome back, Janae.
Thank you.
Well, all right, let's keep going. Yeah, you were on a roll, and unfortunately, when we got a break, because that's I get yelled at otherwise. So tell us a little bit about
that.
What we were talking about.
We were talking about how, you know, you can rescue your own pet or even someone else's animal or even a wild animal that is injured. Let's talk about first, if you find an injured animal, and even if it's your own pet, if they're injured, just knowing how to kind of assess the animal, you know, can help you to decide whether, like I said before, it's something that's time sensitive, and what you need to do. So, whenever you're dealing with an injured animal, and especially if it's, if it's in a car accident or there's somewhere where you could be injured yourself, you obviously have to make sure that you are safe. You are safe. The animal is safe. You're not going to get hurt further. The animal's not going to get hurt further. Those types of things. Whenever you're dealing with an injured animal, you are going to have to deal with some type of restraint and handling and be very careful with them, because if they are injured, you can further injure that pet by moving them incorrectly, by pulling on areas, things like that. So it's very important to, basically make sure that you are restraining and taking care of that pet. And that could be where you have to muzzle them, because obviously you don't want to get bit with cats or anything that can also scratch as well. You're going to have to do some type of wrap, because you obviously don't want to get attacked. But the times that you don't want to muzzle, this is really important too, when you don't want to muzzle is you don't want to cut off the airflow when the animal is having any trouble breathing, they're coughing, or they're vomiting, because then we want to make sure that we're not cutting off the airflow. Otherwise, it's safe to muzzle, and it also can be, you know, something that can be safe to keep you from getting injured.
Okay, Janae, backtrack a second? Interesting when you said about wrapping a cat, because that's something, you know, I'm a dog and horse gal, so I know what to do when a horse falls through a bridge, because I've had that happen. But what do you do, like, how would you wrap, like, what are the things? Of course, we have your emergency kit for those of you who've already purchased an emergency kit from Doggy 911. But what kind of wrap? Can you just use a regular towel? And is there a certain pattern, or is there something that we specifically would do with the animal, especially with a cat?
It could be a cat. It could be a small an animal, you know, like a pocket pet type. It could be a bird even. With those type of animals, you're going to have to do some type of a wrap. It could be a bunny, because if you've got rabbits, they're going to be able to kick off, and they're very powerful. And because of them getting so freaked out, and they can have heart attacks very quickly and have a major emergency. So cats can scratch, birds can fly, you've got other different types of things that can happen. So with them, you're definitely going to have to do some type of a wrapping. And I call it kind of a burrito wrap, because you're kind of supporting the trunk and limbs and wrapping the limbs or the wings up inside that blanket against the body, so that way they can't kick off, they can't scratch, they can't fly, they can't get away from you, but yet you're protecting those areas of the body and keeping them close to you so that you've got control of the animal, and then that way also they're not getting further injured. So that's kind of the thought. So you're kind of, you know, supporting the limb, supporting the body weight, supporting the trunk, and kind of, you know, wrapping them in a burrito type style.
All right, so that's not like a chicken burrito. This is like another kind of burrito. I'm not going to ever eat a chicken burrito again. Not that I did, but I'm not going to be eating. I'm pretty much done with meat anyway. So. We could call it a cannoli wrap. I can't eat those because they have gluten in them. So.
Yeah, this is just more to, it's just a way of describing it, and it helps to think about it like you would wrap a burrito kind of tight and keep the stuff inside secure. It's the same kind of thing with the animals, and that's the best way to do it, because then that way you're supporting and controlling that. Now, when you're doing those, you're still going to have to keep control of the head and things as well, and making sure that they can breathe. And if they have an injured limb, you're going to have to make sure that limb is out where you can, you know, triage it. But the burrito, you know, kind of wrapping is important, because with some animals, you know, they can, like I said, kick off, scratch, fly. They can get away from you. So, you know, obviously muzzling is not enough. And there's only, and there isn't muzzles for certain types of animals as well. So it just depends on, you know, on what type of pet that you're dealing with triaging. And so that's why, you know, that's important. I do think doing, you know, a quick head-to-tail assessment, and it shouldn't take more than just a few seconds. I mean, you want to just kind of quickly do head-to-tail assessment so you can identify what's, you know, obviously going on with the pet, you know, from basically the top of the head all the way to the tail, you know, looking to see if there's any bleeding, because you're going to have to control that, you know, looking to see if there's any broken bones sticking out. You also can look for things that might be might have come out of the animal, like blood or vomit or urine or feces, and anything that is, you know, kind of near the animal, because that also can, you know, lead you to what might be going on, because you can take that with you and take it to the vet. They can analyze that if the animal was poisoned, something like that, or it could be you know, things around the animal that could lead you to believe, obviously, things like car accidents or, you know, a weapon or
yeah, bullet shell or something, a shell casing.
Yeah, something that would lead you to believe what is going on there. But, you know, anything that you can do to help kind of identify. Now, sometimes there may be no signs of injury, because some things that are internal may not show for 12 to 72 hours. And with that being the case, especially if you suspect an animal that's been hit by a car or fallen out of a vehicle, let's say, something like that, where it's going to be, you know, could be traumatic, but it may not necessarily show for 12 to 72 hours. and there could be internal bleeding going on. There could be things like the bladder, the urinary bladder ruptured, or you could have something like the
ruptured
air,
spleen. I know we had one dog that had a ruptured spleen from playing too hard.
Mm-hmm. Anything to do with the organs can be dangerous. There could be something, you know, blood leaking into the chest cavity. And so those are things that, even though they might look okay from the outside, there's something going on internally. So it's very important to, you know, get them looked at immediately. You know, moving them properly and all of those things. I do think everyone should know how to, you know, take an animal's temperature so that they can identify what the temperature's running, and, you know, dealing with checking for breathing and checking for a pulse. You know, that's very important as well. You know, that way you can actually, you know what that is running. And if everyone knows what the normal is, then that's going to help you all the more. But even if you don't, it's a good rule of thumb is the smaller the animal, the quicker the heart rate, and the larger the animal, the slower the heart rate should be. That's the way it should be. And so if you take those things, you can at least let the vet know, or whoever you're taking it to, what is going on, so that that way they can have an idea.
The smaller, the slower, the quicker. I mean, the smaller, the faster,
the
quicker, the
slower.
I can't do this. The smaller, the faster, the larger, the slower.
That's right. It's actually the opposite. So, for example, a mouse would be about 520 beats per minute.
Wow.
And then, yeah, that's a lot. It's very, very, very fast. And then if we have, you know, like a farm animal or a horse, you're going to be between, you know, horses are about 12 breaths per minute, and the farm animals, you know, cows would be about 13, but, you know, like our sheep or pigs would be maybe about 20.
Right.
So you can see what
And we'll
huge
go into
difference.
More of that, right? We'll come right back because we got another one of those great breaks. We will be right back. Janae's going to fill us in on so much more. Stay tuned.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we've got some really cool stuff going on here with Janae Bowen from DogE911.com. She's an amazing lady. And we are learning all kinds of stuff. We're learning the tongue twisters aren't fun. But, Janae, welcome back. And yeah, if you have a general idea, I think that's really helpful that you think about something that's smaller tends to move faster, and there's less of an area. So the heart has to pump more because it's, you know, it's got to work harder basically to keep all that, you know, that blood flowing, whereas something that's got a gigantic heart doesn't really need to pump as fast or as many times. because there's more volume being pumped with each pump. So that kind of makes total sense. So let's talk about, you know, some of the, we got that the smaller the animal, the faster the heart rate normally would be. The
and
larger the animal,
the slower
the heart rate
would be. It's just a good rule of thumb to remember if you can't remember all the different. Yeah, there are different things because there's a lot of different, you know, obviously heart rates, you know, all over for these animals and breath rates. And so, I mean, obviously people are welcome to take my courses and learn all of these wonderful things. But, you know,
how would people do that if
they wanted
to take a course?
Kind of think of and you know, have so that they can be able to, you know, kind of assess and tell what's going on with that pet. Now, back to, you know, moving an animal and having things. I do think that everyone needs to have certain things in their vehicles or even in their home for if they have a pet that's injured at home and stuff. I think when you have an animal, you need to learn these things. You need to, you know, whether it be you have an animal, you care for animals, you take care of pets, you're a pet sitter, you're a kennel. I mean, I work with a lot of kennels and train them on all these different things, whether it be, you know, dealing with bloat issues to, you know, venomous bites to, you know, just basic health care stuff. But anytime you have a pet, I think it's important to have, you know, this knowledge and then have first aid kits and things in your home to take care of them. But I do think you should even keep these things in your vehicle because if you are out and about, your animal can get injured. You may come up on an animal that's injured and want to help assist. So I do think it's important to have certain things in your car, and I think one of those things would, you know, obviously, I think leashes are great to have in your vehicle, and also blankets or, you know, things that you can move an animal with. Some people have boards and things in their trucks and things like that, but you can have blankets. Blankets do work, or even tarps. A lot of the fire departments use the tarps to move animals because I work with a lot of the fire departments. And even the thing that goes over, and I'm not sure what it's called, but I refer to it a lot. It's the little kind of thing that goes over your wheel well in the back of your vehicle. If you have a car and it has a spare tire in there and you've got that kind of piece of cardboardy type material that goes over the top of it in the back of your car,
that can
be pulled out and used to move
about.
An animal because it's firm. And it's something that you can use to, you know, kind of transport like a gurney. So anything like that you can have to move the animal safely and support the spine and neck areas and the back is very important because you're going to need to support the head, neck, and spine of that animal. And then having a first aid kit is also very important because you may need to do some type of a triage, and so having that first aid kit and things inside it to be able to help, and of course knowing how to use it is very important because if you have to control any bleeding or anything like that, obviously you want to have the tools to be able to do that. Say you have an animal that's been hit and you're needing to control bleeding, you're going to need some type of towels. You know, gauze, blanket, some type of thing that you can actually use to help control that, and making sure that animal's safe. I had a cat that we rescued that had been attacked by another cat, and she was bleeding out from the jugular. Obviously, had to get control of the bleeding, as well as, you know, getting her to safety and getting her to a vet to be triaged as well, because obviously if we didn't do something with it being jugular, you know, she would not have made it. So again, just having those things in your vehicle that you can use if need be, you know, are also very, very important. Definitely those things as well. If you have an animal that you come up on, I mean, the animal is going to be scared. Obviously, it's going to be, you know, having issues with being fearful. And so I think that's where all of those things going back to, you know, being safe, making sure that you're safe because animals work on that fight or flight system. And I know you talk about stuff with all of your, you know, work that you do with behavior and all of that. And so because of that, you know, they don't realize that you're trying to help them with their broken limb or, you know, that they've fallen out of a car. So we have to obviously, you know, kind of be extra, you know, calm with them. You know, they're going to react to our energy and be very slow moving and, and, you know, kind of basically, you know, take extra care when we're, you know, being firm, but being, you know, very careful with them when we're moving them and supporting them and, you know, making sure that you're kind of controlling that animal so that they don't hurt themselves worse.
Right, and that's one of the things I think a lot of people forget is, you know, I remember a few years ago, I was driving down in a nearby town in New Jersey, and there was this, well, basically what happened, there was a lady who apparently was babysitting for or fostering like 12 dogs, which in my world that's not a lot, but for a lady in a little tiny house with a bunch of animals, that was really over the top. Well, the 12 animals got out. There was everything from a gigantic Rottweiler or Rottie mix down to a Cocker Spaniel, and I happened to be driving by, and I see all these, it was like being in Jungle Habitat or one of these places with the adventure places where you have, you know, here you are on safari, and all these dogs are just running down this major road at like 5:15 in the middle of rush hour, and of course, you know, I do have leashes, so I ran, I got all the dogs. Well, the last one was this Cocker Spaniel. And supposedly it was a really good dog, and it's heading for the superhighway. It's heading for an 8-lane highway. And it would have gotten there, but, of course, as it was trying to run towards there, I wasn't letting this Cocker Spaniel get killed, because he would have, and he wasn't the brightest bulb. So I literally jumped with a lasso in my hand of the leash and managed to loop it around this dog as I landed on the ground. I didn't land on the dog, but, of course, I grabbed it, you know, had it on the leash, and this dog turns around and starts chowing down on my arm, which I stuck out ahead of my face. Now, I know how to handle myself with a dog who has, you know, an injury or who's terrified, and I get bitten all the time, not as many times as you think, but I do get bitten frequently, so it doesn't flip me out and make me scared when a dog starts biting me. But the average human being who doesn't do what I do or what our team at United Canine Professionals does, you're going to be nervous. And now your energy is going to affect the dog's behavior or the animal's behavior. And that's what Janae is saying. You have to be the one who's calm. You have to be the one who sets the example with your calm, confident energy of, honey, I'm not going to hurt you, but don't bite me. And that's what happens when she says about a leash. You always have to keep yourself safe first. We don't want humans to get hurt. We definitely don't want the dogs to get hurt. But we have to respect that we don't want you or someone else who's nearby with a fearful animal for the animal to lunge because it doesn't understand what you're trying to do. So Janae is going to continue on in about 2 minutes when we return with all these wonderful words from our incredible sponsors, and we are going to learn more. Stay tuned.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're going to continue on with Janae Bowen, who is telling us what to do with animals that either we find who might be injured or sick, as well as with our own animals. Janae, welcome back, and please, let's continue on. We want to know,
Thank you,
what is the main thing that people should be doing when a lot of times I know I get calls from clients in the middle of the night when a dog ingests either a medication or it cuts its paw. I think those are like two of the main things. Can we kind of deal with that in our last segment today so people know kind of where to go and like when to do pressure and when to make the dog vomit and how to make him vomit?
Well, if we're talking about, you know, a poisoning type issue and stuff, it depends on what they've ingested, first of all. I mean, if you know what it is, it's going to obviously help determine whether it's something that, you know, needs to obviously, where you can actually have them vomited up, or if it's something that obviously is going to have to be removed. So it just depends on what they've ingested. And basically, you know, the times when you don't want to make them vomit, which is most important, I guess, to give out, is if there's a sharp object, because obviously that can cut the esophagus coming back up. We don't want anything, we don't want the animal to vomit if it's any type of petroleum, acid, or caustic substance. Those are three things to remember. Any petroleum-based acid or caustic substance, because that's going to obviously cause, other problems. So otherwise, if you're wanting to induce vomiting, it's basically 1 teaspoon of hydrogen peroxide per 10 pounds of body weight. That's the rule to remember. 1 teaspoon of hydrogen peroxide per 10 pounds of body weight. So my dogs are, you know, between 9 and 11 pounds. They would only get 1 teaspoon. And, there is, you know, the poison control centers that you can call and get information. If you call 911, they will not be able to help you. So that's why knowing, you know, how to do this is, you know, important. And I do think having, and one of the things I was going to talk about before and even goes along with this, is having a number of, you know, the 24-hour vet clinics that are in your area. You need to know who they are. You need to have their numbers handy. If you have a vet, like my wonderful vet, who is a mobile vet and who I'm friends with, that is on call and that you can call at hours, you need to have a connection with them as well so that you can contact them and talk to them about the things that you need.
And also, Janae, that would be something where people can use our mobile app on Wyatt's List, which is a directory of pet professionals all over the country, and will actually be live very soon, where you can call up and just literally by where you're located and where your GPS signal is, we know where you are, and we can have our switchboard direct you right into your local emergency vet. So that's a cool thing that we'll be working with Doggy 911 as well for a list of really great vets and for emergency clinics that are open. Of course, when all emergencies happen in the middle of the night on a Saturday.
Yeah, and that's usually when they do happen. That's the craziest thing. Even for my own dogs, I had one get stung by a scorpion at 11:30 at night.
Oh,
I had one, you know, have a bloat issue in the evening late. So, I mean, those kinds of things can happen, and a lot of times that's when they do happen. And so that's why it's important to have some knowledge of being able to help, kind of triage your own pet and do things for your own animal. And knowing, again, when do you triage now, when are there things that you can deal with at home, and when are there things that, you know, you need to get them to the vet, but you need to, you know, be able to do something immediately. And on the vet topic, there are, you know, different lists out there of groups, and I've got them on my pages and on my Facebook page and all that, of groups that work together with you to help funding for your animals. I mean, obviously, if you're having issues with funding these things, we want to make sure that the animals are taken care of no matter what. We don't want you not taking them to the vet or not, you know, providing care for them if you can't afford it. Obviously, you know, it has to be, there's certain credentials you have to, you know, fall under, but there are lists out there that help you with your animals. And then some states, and I don't know if you know this, Janice, but some states have set up laws that protect these animals by using funding that's been set aside to treat animals that are turned over, that were hit by cars or that were injured in some way by Good Samaritans. The Good Samaritans found them, brought them in to be triaged, and, you know, they don't necessarily have the money or want to pay for the animal, but they want to make sure the animal gets taken care of. There are laws that have funding set up under certain states that you can, you know, use those as well, that the vet gets paid, and so that they will treat and triage the animal.
Wow, no, I did not know that. We'll have to put that out on the Wyatt's List as well.
So there are some things out there. It's just we don't all, you know them. And if it's ways that we can help make sure that not only an injured animal gets helped and taken care of, but also, you know, our own animals are taken care of and provided for. And so, you know, that's why those resources are there. It's just not every, you know, not everybody knows about them. So,
Exactly. So definitely,
there's a lot of other things that I think, you know, kind of go along with those types of, you know, things that we're talking about and can maybe help, you know, our pets and help us help other animals. And then there's all types of rescue groups and, you know, even wildlife. Like I said, if you hit an injury, you have a wild animal that you hit, there's lots of groups out there that, you know, will, you know, work to get those animals better as well. And so having, you know, that knowledge, you know, and having those things so that you can, you know, contact them and let them know you found an animal and, you know, that you want to help. Or even if you can't safely restrain the animal yourself, even if you stay with the animal until you can get someone there. And a lot of those wildlife rescues work with Department of Fish and Game, and they have vehicles that have the sirens, and they can come out and get the animals. Even if you just stay with the animal while it's down and injured, making sure it doesn't get injured further, even that is something that can help.
Wow, awesome. Well, we're going to have to finish up in a little bit. So I'm really interested in knowing what kind of things you do and how you close off bleeding, because I've had that, not with my dog so much, but with clients whose dogs have stepped on something or cut their leg on wire, especially in the Midwest where there's a lot of cows and things, there's barbed wire. And I've seen animals get pretty injured with that kind of stuff. How would you, like, what do? You have to wrap it, but how much pressure to put? Is there any guideline on that?
Well, you need to apply direct pressure and make a pressure bandage, basically. With animals, you want to make sure that, you know, when you're wrapping, you're using some type of vet wrap or Coflex tape, something that's not going to stick to itself and tear the skin or tear the, you know, I don't know, sometimes, you know, obviously with the thicker hair and stuff, it's not going to stick anyway, so you need to have something that sticks to itself. And with pad wound tears, especially, they're gonna bleed a lot. There's just so many blood vessels there that they're gonna bleed a lot. So you're gonna have to apply direct pressure. You can use, you know, hemostatic dressings and things because, you know, obviously those being a little bit more, you know, that would obviously, you know, cut off the, you know, kind of close off the blood flow and, you know, kind of stop the area, you know, from bleeding. But even things that are, you can use as a hemostat dressing, let's say you're working with an animal that's injured, you can even use a diaper or a sanitary napkin, something that's really thick and that can absorb the blood. You can even use that to apply to the band, to the area that's bleeding, and then wrap around that because that also can act like a hemostat dressing.
Awesome. Okay, well, great.
Yeah.
We'll have you on again for sure, Janae. Unfortunately, we got to wrap up. You can contact Janae Bowen.
I know, you never can get to everything.
You can contact Janae Bowen at www.doge911.com. And, of course, you can always contact us at United K9 Professionals. That's the letter K, number 9, professionals with an S, .com. Or 855, the number 4, K, the number 9, pros. Or if you want to get in touch with us for to become one of us or to learn how to train service dogs or cancer detection, disease detection dogs, you can contact us at merlinskids.org. That's merlinskids.org. Or 855, hi, Wyatt. And we will be making Wyatt's List live very soon. Definitely stay tuned. And we will talk to most of you and listen hopefully on Friday on For the Love of Dog. And until next week, thank you, Janae, and thank you all
for
listening.
Having me,
and have a wonderful, safe, happy, healthy week.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog